141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. On the eve of a huge night in Europe, Rangers are out to make Jimmy Bell proud in the Europa League semi-final against RB Leipzig, according to Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. Kemar Roofe and Aaron Ramsey will be given until the last minute to prove they're fit enough to take part. And Partick Thistle's hopes of reaching the Premiership have been dented with a home defeat to Inverness in the playoffs last night. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me this evening, Simon Donnelly. Marvin Bartley's on time, which is a good start.
Early.
And Marvin, what a night we have in store tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely massive night. It should be a fantastic game. I'm really interested to see how Joe sets up in terms of the tactics. But no, what a great, great night it should be. The place will be rocking. I remember the last European game when the camera's actually shaking up and down. I expect that from the first minute to the last.
It's early May, Simon, and we've still got European football to talk about, which probably tells its own story. But it's award season. The title race could be wrapped up this weekend.
Keep saying
that. We've got playoffs. It's all happening, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We keep saying that about the title race. Obviously, it's prolonged for another week. But yeah, a big game tomorrow night for Rangers. Fantastic, the fact that we're talking about European football at this late stage. Interesting to see if Roofe will come back in and lead the line for Rangers. But yeah, big night tomorrow.
01419511025. That is the number you need to get in touch tonight. So let's hear from you. Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. Rangers fans, are you at that stage where you just wish tonight and tomorrow morning and afternoon would be done with so you can get on to the game? How are you feeling? Can you overturn it? It's bound to be an emotional evening. We'll hear from Giovanni Van Bronckhorst as the club reacts to the sad passing of Jimmy Bell, which was announced yesterday. There are fitness issues to be overcome. Kemar Roofe, Aaron Ramsey, again, it's going to be a nervous wait to find out if they make it. What if they do? What if they don't? What's your plan? What does your team look like? How confident are you? 01419511025. Any Partick Thistle fans out there, how are you feeling after last night's playoff? I don't suppose you'll be feeling great, but can it be overturned in the second leg? Let us know. Craig Gordon has been announced as the Football Writers Player of the Year. I wonder what you make of that. The PFA award went to Callum McGregor on Sunday night, so who knows what they're talking about more, the former pro, the professional footballers or the football writers. Who are you throwing your weight behind? What a popularity contest that'll be. Pick up the phone and let us know. 01419511025. Good win for Livingston at the weekend, Marvin. Everyone outside, mate, have said it was a meaningless game. Not to you. You take these things very seriously.
Most definitely. You know, as I said before, trying to be the best of the rest. But no, it's fantastic. You know, when we saw the fixtures come out and we had Aberdeen and then Hibs, there was always a worry if you lose those two games. And, you know, obviously teams beneath you are picking up points. You get dragged into that kind of playoff relegation spot. But boys have been fantastic. You know, bounced back really well after conceding that late goal against Motherwell. But they were brilliant. The first half wasn't great, I have to admit that, against Hibs, but the second half, absolutely fantastic. And, you know, obviously it's my team, so it was hard to beat them.
I was going
to
say, did it hurt you?
A little bit.
Did it feel bad?
Yeah, and then the gaff reminded me of the win bonus and I was jumping up and down doing cartwheels. So, no, listen, it was absolutely fantastic. And now the aim is to win the next three. You know, can we get five wins out of five after the split?
Yeah, come on, 01419511025. Rangers fans, get all your thoughts in ahead of tomorrow. Just generally how you're feeling, if you're nervous, if you're feeling confident. How are the belief levels? Can you overturn the deficit? If you want to get specific, what about the team then? Kemar Roofe, Aaron Ramsey, all a bit up in the air with regards to those two at the moment. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst spoke today about Jimmy Bell as well. Really shocking, sudden news yesterday that he sadly passed away at the age of 69. Was on the touchline at the weekend, and of course everyone assumed that would follow tomorrow night as well. But sad news indeed. So pick up the phone and let us know what you are thinking. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. We heard from Derek Ray on last night's show. He was giving us the inside track on RB Leipzig. They played a full strength team on Monday night. They lost. They were up against 10 men. They still couldn't win the match. They're not in brilliant form, but they have gone on the road in Europe and come up with some big results. So I wonder if you are feeling confident because they are supposedly not in form, or you're fearing the old wounded animal. Let us know. 01419511025. Let's get you in the mood then with hearing from the Rangers manager Bit of a sombre note to begin with, actually. He says the club are still in shock after Jimmy Bell, the club kit man, passed away aged 69 yesterday. The Dutchman expects an emotional night at Ibrox tomorrow, and he knows victory would be a fitting tribute.
You know, we were all very shocked about the news that Jimmy passed away. It was a hard day for all of us. I think everyone was really down, which you can imagine. So yesterday we didn't do a lot. I mean, we were all at the training ground, but of course the atmosphere was very, very down and still in shock. We talked about him. We shared stories about what we, the stories we had with Jimmy, our personal stories. It was a really big game already, but we're all very determined to go out tomorrow and give everything we can to make everyone proud, and especially tomorrow make Jimmy proud. We still mourn, we're still down, but I think the character of my players are the best I've seen in any teams I coached. I'm sure that tomorrow the character, the belief, the determination will be there, and we'll do everything to reach the finals.
Sure, it will be an emotional night, Simon. I mean, you've been in and around Scottish football for a long, long time. Sorry to make you feel old, and Jimmy Bell would have spanned that. You know, you'll have seen him in the touchline. Goodness knows how many times. So it was strange for everyone at Rangers tomorrow.
Yeah, sad news. To hear of his passing, you know, I mean, life is precious, Gordon, and he was very much, I would say, the heartbeat in there at Rangers. These guys at the club, very close to the players, day in, day out. And yeah, I didn't know him personally, but I came across him throughout the years. And yeah, it's a real sore one for Rangers and obviously Jimmy's family.
You'll have seen that already, Marvin, I'm sure, a recognisable face. You're a player at Hibs and on the coaching staff at Livy. Do you think that does do something emotionally to the fixture tomorrow? I mean, you've heard Giovanni Van Bronckhorst there talking about the shock and maybe, you know, sort of trying to use that as a fitting tribute.
It certainly does. You know, I know from being a player that the kit person's normally one of the first ones you see in the morning. You know, Jimmy would have sat with boys in tears of joy and tears of probably heartbreak, you know, when they knew they weren't playing or they were possibly leaving the club. You know, he was so special to so many people. You only have to take, like you said, to social media yesterday to see players from so many years ago, you know, speaking about him, some true greats speaking about him, and he'd be sorely missed, no doubt about it, and condolences to his family. But there is going to be an emotion attached to it tomorrow. I don't think Jill will need to do a team talk. I don't think he'll need to tell the boys who they need to do it for. Within their hearts, they'll know exactly what they're going out there and who they're going to dedicate the win for, to if they can get it. So definitely there'll be that emotion to it. And you know, as I said, it was a sad, sad day for Scottish football yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think confirmed today as well, earlier today, a minute's silence ahead of that clash against RB Leipzig tomorrow. Let's bring in Serge, who's a Rangers fan. What's on your mind tonight, Serge?
First of all, I'd like to send my condolences to Jimmy Bell and his family. It's a huge loss. It's a club legend, and I'd like to actually see Jimmy Bell inducted into the Hall of Fame at Rangers, but that's another matter. I'm here to talk about the game tomorrow, and I'm supremely confident, not supremely confident, but if we turn up and we play well, there's no reason why we can't overturn Leipzig. We've overturned Dortmund, we've overturned the likes of Red Star, and I like to get up there. They're as good a team as any we've faced, if no better, maybe bar Dortmund. But we've got plenty of motivation, and here, let's not dream about just getting to the final now. It's not a fluke we're in the semi-finals. I mean, people go, if it's some sort of fluke, Rangers have made the semi-finals, but they're on merit. We can go in and win this thing. West Ham, Eintracht, or whoever we get in the final, we can win this, and we'll win it for Jimmy Bell, hopefully.
There we are. If you need extra motivation, Marvin, you probably don't at this stage of the competition, but that will be it. Every fan going along tomorrow will be thinking about the sad news. Every player, impossible to escape. As you say, you're talking about someone that will have been a key part of every single pre-match routine that they've ever had at the club, and that's not going to be there, so you're not going to be able to escape that.
No, definitely won't be. And, you know, the players won't want to escape that. As I said, you know, they'll use that to motivate them. You know, they'll go out there and they'll run extra hard, you know, for a man they all care deeply about. And the fans will have the place rocking. You know, there's no doubt about it for Jimmy, for the club. As Serge said, you know, it's a possibility of going to a final and then going on to win the competition. One thing I think Rangers have to be wary of tomorrow, though, is they don't go out there gung-ho from minute one. I think you saw in the first leg that RB Leipzig have you know, more than enough quality in the final third. They probably should have scored two or three more goals than they did on the night. So Rangers need to be wary of that. I'm interested, as I said, to see how Gio approaches it. I probably think he'll sit off it for a bit and then last 30 minutes go after them, because definitely
you
with
that think
crowd,
he will. You think almost like what he did last week?
Yeah, I just think it's so much of a risk, and it is more difficult at home because the fans expect you to attack. But it's all about going through. You know, after 90 minutes, after 120 minutes, after a penalty shootout, as long as you go through, it doesn't matter how you do it. I just think if they go and attack from minute one and you open up yourself to maybe the counter attack and you give up more chances, you're going to concede goals tomorrow.
It must be tough for you guys, you professionals, coming up with that balance though, because me, who doesn't need to think about the risk as such, imagine you score in the third minute and the roof comes off Ibrox and all of a sudden...
They did that against Braga, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they almost got the second goal for the silly rule for the handball. I think Rangers have started games really well recently. Obviously, I've watched the three against Celtic and I think they've started all those games really well. And I think... I know what Marv's saying, because I think Leipzig like to play on the counter-attack, I'm led to believe. So they will be a threat. But as Serge says there, Rangers, you know, expectation, there's four teams left. I think every team in this competition can win this tournament. It's quite open. So you're at home, they've put themselves in a really good position again, similar to previous rounds. But yeah, just out of balance. But I think Gio's been over that course. He's an experienced campaigner. He'll be probably relaying that to his players tomorrow, you know, just to be cautious. But they still have to get out there and get a result.
Your confidence, Serge, looking back to last week, what did you make of them then? Were they not as good as you thought they would be? Or are you just confident that Rangers will find a way tomorrow that they couldn't find last week?
I wouldn't say that they weren't as good as what I thought they would be. I think they were really feeling us out last week. And I think, all right, we had to park the bus a wee bit to keep it competitive. That's allowed when you're playing a team with 10 times the spending budget of you. I don't know what people were expecting, but I think they're there to be got at. I think with the crowd behind it, you know what I mean? It's game on. But we will need to turn up. I mean, Rangers will need to play at their very best tomorrow to even compete with a team like Leipzig, if Leipzig turn up. You know what I mean? But why should we not be confident? We've got this far. We've had great results in Europe, even since Gerrard and that came. We've been building up towards us. I mean, we're a decent team. We're a very, very decent team, Rangers. We maybe not shown it as much in the league this season as which we did last season, but we're actually creeping into a wee bit of good form, I know. If you look at our performances, I mean, look at the two performances against Celtic and going down to 10 men at Motherwell, we're actually beginning to find a wee bit of form, and that's nowhere some of our star players. I mean, it'd be great if we have Ramsey and Roof back tomorrow, but we've coped without Morelos.
Serge, I'm sorry to go off on a tangent. You have made Marvin Bartley's night. You should have seen the smile appear on his face, Serge, when you said it's okay to park the bus if you're playing a team with 10 times the spending power. You've been waiting for that, haven't you?
Yeah, I need that clipped.
All the criticism that Livingston and Motherwell and St Mirren face, if they park the bus against Celtic and Rangers, you've just had your moment.
It's okay, because Serge says so. So I need that clip, please, Callum. I'll be using that on Twitter next time we park the bus and people moan.
That is the reality, isn't it?
Yeah, no,
no one will complain. If Rangers can do it tomorrow, get to a final, then job done.
100%. And that's what the players would be saying as well. And as Simon said, the balance is so important. It's a lot easier away from home. I'd admit to that, you know, parking a bus because your fans aren't saying, come on, let's get forward. But I just think tomorrow, as Simon also said, Gio is an experienced manager. He'll have a game plan. But I just don't think they need to go gung-ho from the start. And remember, they've had three players that missed the last round as well that will be back. So you have to be wary of that. But Rangers can definitely do it.
It sounds like, you know, Serge was keen to get that across. That, you know, it's no fluke. And spoke about Steven Gerrard. And I don't think you get any arguments from in here, Simon, because there's this season, you know, getting to the semi-final is a great achievement. But actually, this is a Rangers team that's been, by and large, pretty comfortable in Europe for a number of years now.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, to go and win the league last year, I think it all started with their European performances, because they were their better performances. They were gaining experience in those runs under Stevie G. And Gio's kind of took that mantle and just carried on, you know. So it's not a fluke. It's not a fluke to get to the semi-final of a European competition. They've beat really good teams to get here. As I say, I think all four will be looking at it thinking they can win it. And Rangers obviously been one of them, but they've put themselves in a strong position. They've come back from Leipzig with a one goal deficit. They're back at home. They've did this against Braga in the last round. You know, so why can they not do it again?
Yeah, this is all of a sudden quite an experienced European side, actually, Marvin, that Rangers have. Of course, they're up against one as well with some wonderful players, 10 times the spending power, Sergio's reminding us. But yeah, this is, you know, in the last few years, you look at Kent and Aribo and Tavernier and Goldson, who play loads of games as well. So they've picked up some experience along the way.
Yeah, and they'll all be better for those experiences as well. You know, they're not new to it. Yes, they're new to it being a semi-final, but, you know, they've been here before. They've played at Ibrox when, you know, the pressure's kind of been on them. They need to turn over a deficit, which they have from the first leg. And these players will be looking forward to it. You know, we speak about, you know, Ryan Kent and Aribo and how good they can possibly be. Now, if they go and perform in, you know, these big games and they can go to a final and possibly win a final, you know, it opens them up to such a different market in terms of, you know, when they eventually do move on from Rangers Football Club. And it's good for the club as well because their value's going up and up. Yeah,
they get down as club legends as well if they get to the final and go on to win it. You know what I mean? It's not every day this comes around, you know?
Yeah, absolutely massive. And listen, I think it's fantastic for the whole Scottish football. I'm sure even Simon will be supporting Rangers tomorrow along with me. But no, listen, it's a massive, massive game. And you know, they're big game players, so tomorrow I'm sure they'll go out and perform.
I'll tell you what, Serge just sparked something as well. Producer Callum's going to have to copy that clip because Alan Burrows at Motherwell wants it as well to save up for next time. Callum, you can pass it on to your Dundee United friends as well. Everyone's united after Serge's call. Thank you very much to Serge. How about this tomorrow? It's a big night on this front as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Golden Goals.
£30,500. That is the Golden Goals total. It is sitting pretty at the moment. And bear in mind, Rangers play tomorrow, then again in the league. Celtic join them at the weekend. We need to finish the Premiership. Rangers are in the Scottish Cup final. So considering we throw at least £250 into the pot for every goal either team score, that 30 grand is going to look even better at the end of the season. Now, we don't have loads of time left in the competition. It is the business end of the season after all. So to make sure you are in with the chance of winning every penny, text GOAL to 61025. That's GOAL to 61025. It is £2 plus your standard message rate over 18s only. And the full terms and online entry are at Clyde1.com. Lines close on Scottish Cup final day. This season it's Saturday, the 21st of May at 6 p.m. So for your chance to be the winner at the end of the season, text GOAL to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. And speaking of Twitter, I just took a wee look there, noticed my notifications had exploded, and I thought, what's the reasoning here? I'm not that interesting on there. And it's because anyone listened to the show on Thursday, you may remember there was an incident, shall we say, when Stephen Knights would come on and he dropped a wee sweary word on the show, and I think we cut him off on time. But unfortunately, myself, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL, lost the plot, couldn't stop laughing, couldn't regain the composure. Very unprofessional, my apologies for that. But you can now see what all the fuss was about. The video, in all its glory, is on the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. So my apologies again, and hopefully you can bring some enjoyment from it. And producer Callum's a man of many platforms: TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, Bebo, whatever else, MySpace. It's all there. You can go and check them out. Stephen's a Rangers fan in Coatbridge. What are you thinking for tomorrow, Stephen?
Hi there, guys. Jay, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Just first of all, I'd like to send sincere condolences to Jimmy Bell's family, legend at Rangers. We just get that in before I go on with my plane. It's just about tomorrow night's lineup. What I would do, I'd be playing Aribo out wide and putting Sakala through the middle with Kent on the other side, and I'd also put Balogun at the back with Bassey at left back. I think that would be the way I would set the team up. I would definitely be playing Sakala through the middle and Aribo out wide, because I don't think Aribo in the middle of the park really suits him. He's better out wide and he's better coming in from the right hand side. I just want to know what you think of that, guys.
Yeah, interesting weekend for Fashion Sakala, Marvin. I'm not sure he was getting rave reviews at half time at the weekend, but you can't really argue with the second half contribution. Scores one, could have wrapped it up, probably didn't do a great deal wrong with that chance. What do you make of Stephen's idea?
Yeah, no, I was saying that for the first leg, Stephen, and I got it massively wrong when he went with
it's not like you.
Yeah, I went with a false nine, but Yeah, I think Sakala again has played his way back into the team after, you know, his performance on Sunday. That's, you know, if Roof isn't fit, I think he's being given till kind of the last hour to declare his fitness. And I agree with Aribo as well, going wide. I think the only problem with that is if Aribo does go wide, then Tavernier has to be on his bike and he has to be overlapping and not worried about what's behind him. And, you know, possibly that'd be one of the centre midfielders to come across and block up that hole. But, you know, I definitely agree with that. I think Aribo's better further up the pitch. I think, you know, his form's been a bit iffy, if we can say that, you know, over the last probably like 5 to 10 games. So get him back wide, get him running at people 1v1, get his confidence back and get Tavernier go around the outside of him.
I'm trying to think back, Simon. We speculated so much about the team and the shape last week. Did anyone get it right? I'm not sure. He went back three on Thursday.
He said right.
Oh, there we go then. Credit where it's due.
I think Rangers are in a bit, well, I think Sakala's in a better place mentally now. He must be, after especially his second half performance at the weekend. You know, he's not the tidiest of players, but he's got bags of pace and defenders hate that and are scared of that. And if he can use that in the right way, I don't think he did that in the first leg, but he must take confidence for the weekend. You know, he could have walked away with 2 or 3 goals at the weekend. His strike was fantastic for the goal. He had another chance off the inside of the post. So I think in terms of, this is obviously if Roof isn't fit, I think they're in a better position, strangely enough, just with his performance at the weekend. Yeah. His confidence must be high.
Yeah, whilst we've got you on the line, Stephen, let's hear a bit from the manager on that, because Kamal Roof and Aaron Ramsey, the, in a nutshell, answer is we don't know if they'll be fit, but there's a chance. They're going to be given until the last minute, have not been ruled out. And here's what the manager had to say in way of an update today.
I don't know yet. We still have one day to prepare. Of course, him and Aaron were pushing to be ready for the game tomorrow. So again, today will be an important day for both. At the moment, I cannot tell you if they're in the squad tomorrow or not. But depending how the training will go, you know, when they got injured, we all knew that they will work towards the game tomorrow. And of course, you know, I'll wait as long as possible, but for me, the most important thing is that they are physically able to play a part in tomorrow's game. That's always the deciding factor for me.
So, Stephen, it will be interesting to see if they do make it. Obviously, I assume your team suggestion is, in the event of Kamal Roof not making it, be some boost if he does manage to be fit, though.
Yeah, I think Kamal Roof would be a massive boost for us. I think it's a big ask of the two of them. I really do, to get the two of them in the squad, Ramsey and Roof. If Roof's there, he's a shoo-in to be the striker. And it'll be unlucky for Sakala, but he will be a shoo-in. But as I said, I think, going, mate, you've got to play Sakala through the middle. And as I said, at the back line as well, I would have Bassett left back over Barisic with Balogun and with Goldson.
Yeah, what do you make of that, Marvin?
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I think Bassey, again, you know, is forward running. I think he's fantastic in a full-back position, or if he goes wing-back from time to time as well for Rangers. I think playing him at left-back, again, it gives you another avenue to go and attack. I think having him go around the outside of Kent when he can actually get around him, where Barisic is probably normally backing him up in a supportive role and then delivering from deep, I think it's easier to defend against. I think when you've got someone going around Ryan Kent, that's when he's at his best. You know, I think he exploits the space inside when that does happen. And I think, yeah, Bastille probably will start left back.
It feels like he is one of the real favourites amongst the Rangers fans at the moment. Is that fair and justified as well?
Rightly so. I think I remember the game was at away to Ross County where he made a mistake, and to see the young man bounce back in the fashion he has been absolutely fantastic for Rangers. To be the age he is and to be a shoehorn now into the team, whether he's at centre half or at left back, I think that speaks absolute volumes. And again, I think he can be used at left back tomorrow, because as I said, you know, him getting forward is something they need tomorrow.
Physically, Simon has been so impressive. Everyone remembers the very, very late run to set up the winner in the semi-final, coming after, you know, a couple of extra time. And again, I guess over the weekend and from last week, just physically such an addition to Rangers.
He's an athlete, he really is. The young lad is strong runner. But he has grown in confidence this season, and he's become one of Rangers' main players. I remember Barisic doing well in the Braga game, the return leg, good deliveries, but I just feel possibly it creeps up another mistake at the weekend, and it's similar to the one with Abada in February, you know, that blind side, he allows somebody to come in. So that might affect the decision making. But certainly with Bassey on the left hand side and Balligan, that's bringing pace and power into your team as well.
Oh, there's a lot of obsession, Stephen, about Kemar Roofe because Rangers need a striker. But Aaron Ramsey sounds like he's in the same boat. If he passes a fitness test, is he the type of guy that gets pitched straight in or not?
For the midfield, I think. I would maybe have him on the bench. I think we could set up with kind of, you go with Jack Lundstrom, Kamara for the middle three. I think that would be my best bet. I think for the three in the middle and have Ramsey on the bench. I think Ramsey's a wee bit a worse off injury, but I would go with those three in the middle.
Marvin's nodding. He doesn't agree with much, Stephen, but I think you've got him.
This is a game show. The team that I've written down is the exact same one as Stephen. We'd have got the absolute jackpot.
And you'll both be wrong tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. But at least we'll be wrong together. No, again, agree with that. But I want to see Kamara playing that holding role again. You know, I think sometimes in Europe he's been using that kind of number 10 position, but I think he's better deeper. He'll take the ball, you know, with players marking him, and I think that's what they need tomorrow. They need to get that first pass in. I think the bravery Kamara has, he'll do that, and you have Jack and Lundstrom either side of him. I think that would be the midfield three again for me if I was picking a team tomorrow.
I suppose, look, if they're fit, they're fit. That's the way it's going to have to be, Simon. But this is a Europa League semi-final. It's nearly the end of the season, so it's not like you're going to apply extra caution and say, oh, we won't rush them back this week. You know, maybe say, none of that comes into it. If they've, especially Kemar Roofe, would you imagine, because of the other options, if he's got...
So what is Kemar Roofe's injury? Do we know?
It was
a 10-day thing, but...
Yeah, I can't remember. I will find out.
Because if it's the 10 days have been and gone, and as you say, it's a semi-final, if I was... You'd be desperate to play. Desperate to play. Obviously, Gio's watching them in training, but Roofe and certainly Ramsey, if he's fit, do you risk them for the start? You know, and you can change it. It's a decision for Gio.
I think it was a knee injury, whatever that means, though, because that can mean quite a few things.
They did say 10 days, didn't they?
Well, it was always going to be best case scenario, both back for this game. Yeah. You know, it was quite clear early on that they would miss the first leg, they would miss the second.
We can speculate, but he'll be watching them in training. As he said there in his interview, he will know best, but if they were showing any sort of fitness, you go with your best team, your best players, don't you?
Do you take that risk, though? Would you take that?
I think, well, if Roofe is showing any sort of evidence that he's fit, I would probably start him, man.
Yeah.
In the knowledge that, okay, if you've got Sakala there, but I think you go with your best player, particularly the centre forward.
So I'm not going to say desperate times, because that makes it seem unfair on the other players, but they essentially don't have a striker at the moment. So does that sort of strengthen the suggestion that, I don't know, if Kamara Roofe's 80% fit, you play him, is that the way it would work? Or
I just think it's so tough. With a game where you need every single player tomorrow, they can't have any player performing lower than a kind of a 7 out of 10. I think taking a risk with somebody's fitness from the start...
I think he'll know, though, won't he? Yeah. Gio's watching him. You can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell.
I just think it's easier to come onto a game when it's slowed down rather than starting the game. Everyone's at, you know, 100% and they're at full pace. I think if you can get 20 out of him and it's the last 20 minutes and it possibly goes into extra time, I think he'll be better suited for him. Again, it's going to be a confidence thing, isn't it? Whatever he's done to his knee, it's a confidence thing with that, you know, twisting and turning, and you can train as much as you want. But when you're in a match and you have to be reactive to certain situations, you know, it puts a lot of pressure through it.
Thank you, Stephen. Let's bring in Andy, who's also a Rangers fan. What have you made of the build-up to this one, Andy? Oh, hold on, Andy. That's a terrible line, even with these nice big headphones on. I can't make it out. So producer Callum will go and get that cleaned up. And I always say that, I don't know what he does. I think he just turns them off
them
and
back
on again, pretty much. It tends to usually works. Just tells him to move to another point in the house. But hopefully we'll get Andy back in just a second. If you want to join Andy on the phones, by the way, 01419511025. I think he is back. Take it away, Andy.
Hiya. The build-up, can you hear me now? Is that okay?
Got
now
you loud and clear.
The build-up's obviously been saddened with the passing of Jimmy Bell, club legend, condolences to his family and things. There's been a lot made Leeds coming into this with two defeats and no playing good and the manager under pressure and things because the Champions League place in Germany is under threat and things like that. I would rather them come into the game with Rangers tomorrow night and full steam ahead, if you know what I mean. In other words, playing good and things like that, because I don't want Rangers, I don't think they will, I don't want Rangers or anybody else round about the club or anything like that, treating them lightly, because this is a good German team. We beat Dortmund, but I was listening to, I know I'm listening to one of your rivals, but I was listening to one of your rivals. I think I listened last night here as well. I think it was Derek Ray was on, I think it was. And he was saying, although Leipzig are below Dortmund, he classes them as a better team than Dortmund. It's just now, because Dortmund can either be great or they can be rubbish as such, inconsistent. But I would rather them coming in strong rather than like a wounded animal, as you said at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, it's interesting, Marvin. For a start, the fact that they played last night at all is a factor. You know, whether they won 5-0 or lost like they did, Monday, Thursday is quite a schedule. So they played, but they did, they lost. They were up against 10 men for about half an hour and still lost. Christopher Nkunku did find the shooting boots again, though. He scored the one, but Mönchengladbach got three of them, one when they were down to 10 men. So it'll be interesting to see what that does do to Leipzig.
Yeah, that's a tough, tough turnaround, like you said, and they have to travel on top of that. So,
and it was away last night as well.
Yeah, so things aren't being made easy for them at all, but, you know, obviously we're happy about that. So, yeah, it's going to be tough, but those players, again, you know, we speak about Rangers and the Rangers players and, you know, possibility of getting to a final, and then, you know, it's anybody's game. These players will be thinking the same. And let's not forget about that. If they can win this competition, I'm pretty sure they qualify for the Champions League anyway. That's what you're put into. So this might be their last chance of doing that. You know, it looks like the league's got away from them, the top four finish. So this is their final chance to maybe get to the Champions League. So league form isn't important for them tomorrow. Go out and win the game and then get to the final.
It sounds like that's what Andy's fearful of, Simon. Because now, I mean, I'm not sure you need extra incentives when you get to the semi-final of the Europa League, but... No. They now might need to win it to get into the Champions League, when a few weeks ago it looks like they would have qualified through the Bundesliga. That now looks unlikely. So you wonder what headspace they're in tomorrow.
They're looking to win the tournament like the other four. It's the Champions League is a huge bonus for the winner, but they're looking to win the tournament. And as I said earlier, I don't think they didn't put Rangers under real pressure last week. They had one or two chances. The lad going round McGregor should have done better. But I didn't really think Rangers were really put under an enormous amount of pressure in the game. I think the shape frustrated them, and as I said earlier on, they're a counter-attacking team, so I think that might be the threat tomorrow. When Rangers have to go at some point to get the goal, will they pick them off? I think that's the danger for me.
Andy's right to reference Derek Ray, who we had on last night. That's why we do it, to get the sort of expert inside knowledge, Marvin. I'm not sure he quite said Leipzig were better than Dortmund. What he did say, though, is that they don't have that many off days. You know, Dortmund, as Andy said, can be wonderful and then might blow up. He said Leipzig tend to be a sort of safer bet, and the fact that they have had their off night at the weekend might not bode well for Rangers.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It might not bode well for them, but I think they have more off days than Dortmund, because Dortmund are second in the league. And, you know, I think the difference when, you know, the Rangers, the team that they faced in terms of when they play against Dortmund, there's no Haaland in it. You know, for me, he's probably the best number nine in the world at this moment in time, so it made a huge difference. But listen, those Rangers players, they will not be looking into this game and, you know, taking it lightly at all. They won't care about the Leipzig performances from before. All they're worried about is that they beat us last time. We need to win tomorrow's game. These players are top professionals at a big club for a reason. That's because they don't take other teams lightly. Now, after the game, if they win 2 or 3-0, then they can look back and say, oh, that was an easy game. Not a chance now or up to kickoff or during the game will they be thinking, all we have to do here is turn up, because they know how wrong that could go.
This is a great time to get your call in. Thank you to Andy, because we are about to get some travel news, and that means you could be up next. So let's hear from you.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley is here, Simon Donnelly's alongside him, and they're both waiting on you. 0141-951-1025. Or if you would rather tweet, it is at Clyde SSB. So let's hear from you, whether it is building up to tomorrow night's European semi-final for Rangers, whether it's something else entirely, a bit of a quiet midweek for you Celtic fans, but big award success at the weekend. I noticed Craig Gordon, incidentally, today has been named the Football Writers Player of the Year in Scotland. What do you make of that? Partick Thistle fans, where are you? We usually hear from you when you're angry and annoyed, and I think you might be after last night. Still a chance, though, to progress in the playoffs. Pick up the phone and let us know how you are feeling. 0141 951 1025. Brian is a Celtic fan on the line. What's your point for the guys tonight, Brian?
Well, I just wanted to talk about, you know, certainly the awards. I mean, I was looking at the Andre Postecoglou won Manager of the Year, and wee Callum won Player of the Year. Leila Bada, a Young Player of the Year. And I mean, it's easy to go back and with 2020 hindsight, look back, the guys that were saying, oh, they'll be out before Christmas. Andre who, you know, like with a few pundits that should know better, coming out with some absolute major gaffes. But this guy, if you look at what he's done and the change, we've got a 31-point spread so far this season. That's not to say it wouldn't be more, but I'm not saying. But last year we lost the league by 25 points. As Hugh would say to himself, total disarray, and it would be miraculous. Miraculous if Celtic win the league. Now, I had a big argument with you about that because I think Celtic should be looking to win the league every year. But total disarray is what we were in. And you look at what this man has brought along. The signings that he's put in, players of the year, the best signing of the year was whoever went out and got that man to come all the way across to Australia or Japan, wherever it was, to come to Scottish football was just the signing of a long time, because if you look at what he's done so far, he's not even got started.
Somewhere in a leafy Glasgow suburb, settling over a can of cold beans, Hugh Keevans is furious at that impression that Brian's just delivered. I quite liked it. I think it is part of, you know, Ange Postecoglou's acceptance speech, if you like, the other night, Simon, at the PFA Awards. He made that point. He knew he had to win some people over. Mm-hmm. I think he's acutely aware of the way it was, but it doesn't strike you as the type that ever let it bother him. And I guess now a lot of people will be eating their words.
Yeah, but that's always what happens, you know. People come in and, whether it's a wee bit of ignorance or disrespect for not, I didn't know who Ange was myself when he came to the club. But the turnaround, as Brian says, the job that the guy has did, I've liked the way he's handled the media. He speaks well from day one. And after, you know, not a ropey start with the three defeats in quite quick succession, you know, once he got his feet in there and he got his players up to speed and he was bringing guys in, the recruitment has been, I said the other night, the polar opposite to last year. The recruitment has been fantastic. Not too many failures. A lot of them have come in and made big impacts immediately at different periods in the season. And it's exciting times. I said that at the start of the season when they were leaking a few goals in Europe. I thought, this is going to be an exciting season for Celtic. This guy wants to attack. I don't buy all the stuff about philosophies at times, but ironically, I like this guy's philosophy. I like the way he goes about it. He attacks. He wants to take it to teams. Yes, they got a couple of defeats in Europe early on, but it doesn't change. He keeps that focus. He wants to play a certain way. Hearts in the mouth stuff against Rangers at the weekend, playing at the backs for me and fans watching it, but they persevere with that. It succeeds more than it fails, and the turnaround has been nothing short of sensational. And it is exciting times because he's going to hopefully have a pot of gold there on the back of the Champions League. It's interesting to see where is he going to go now, where is he going to, because he'll have to go and get better than what's there to lift it. That's the process. It lifts everybody about. So where's he going to go and delve in to get some more quality to enhance our Celtic team?
One of my favourite moments involving you this season, Marvin Bartley, we've thoroughly enjoyed having you on the show. And I think you said at one point that you met Ange when you played against him, and you felt he had like an aura about him, which was just great, because on Twitter then I saw people saying, ah, Marvin Bartley's he's a Celtic fan in disguise. Yeah. And I thought, this just reminds me that no one is exempt on this show, because I'm pretty sure you were, just being honest. I'm not sure you are either in disguise. You're a big Hibs man, as you always say.
Correct.
But yeah, you've been impressed with him.
Massively impressed. And, you know, as Brian said there, the turnaround that he's made at that football club has been unbelievable. You know, I was very vocal about Celtic last season and saying that they had lost their fear factor. For the first time for me being in Scotland, they had lost it. You know, you went to play against them and you were confident that you could get something out of the game. And I must admit, that's probably the first season that had happened. So for him to turn those players around, the ones that he's decided to keep, as Simon said, his recruitment has been first class. It seemed that he had profile of players that he wanted. He wasn't just going after certain names, as, you know, could have happened the season before. I think Barkas one, you know, kind of springs to mind, the money that they spent on him. I think it's fantastic. You know, they dropped points in 16 games last season out of 38. That's unheard of for Celtic Football Club. Absolutely unheard of. So he had to pick those players up. He had to get the confidence back for them now to be going on to win the league. You know, a huge pat on the back. And I know people say it's easy winning games. It's most definitely not. As he said, he had to prove a lot of things to people. Within himself, he would have been confident. You know, he's a good manager and he knows he's a good manager. But people outside of that were speaking and being, as Simon said, disrespectful towards him. And now he's making his people eat their words.
Yeah, I mean, Brian, I think you mentioned the captain in there as well, Callum McGregor, who was named PFA Scotland's Player of the Year as voted for by the players at the weekend. I take it you've no complaints with that.
Oh, no. I mean, anybody who played football or watched football for the number of years that I have, you can see that boy has just risen to the challenge of losing a player like Bruni. I mean, I know that he was doing his apprenticeship while he was there with Bruni, but his apprenticeship was served and he's put down a marker to say, here's the benchmark for me, for his own personal. But it's all about the team, and this is all galvanised from the manager. I always think having a great leader is about you know, working towards a collective thought. But Callum has set a benchmark for me. From the day that he moved in, he has been Celtic captain quality. It's just that when he came along, it was Bruni was just in that, you know, that role, and he's learned so much from him. You can see that. He plays the kind of football that fans absolutely love. There is not one Celtic fan would disagree with him being Player of the Year. The writers, Player of the Year, I would say, well done for the big man for getting the goalie, for getting the Hearts goalie, for getting the player, the writers, Player of the Year. But they didn't know that much about football, do they? It's the actual player that you really want. That's what you want. It's the supporters, Player of the Year, that you really want. Writers, you know, that's why they've got typewriters and they're not playing the football.
Typewriters. Even Hugh Keevans doesn't use one of them anymore. I think we should have known this by now anyway, Simon and Marvin, but just in case anyone was in any doubt, it's been fascinating to see Callum McGregor underline or sort of blow apart some of the old school Scottish stereotypes about what a captain needs to be. Yeah. And you know what, over the other side of the city, we've seen a similar journey with James Tavernier. You know, when you're losing games, it's, he's not a captain, you know, he's not a leader. I think he answered that last year. And now Callum McGregor probably couldn't be more different from Scott Brown.
Yeah, but listen, this isn't the hit, but it will be the headline, that I'm not comparing him to this guy, but I played by a guy, Paul McStay, who didn't go about and ball his head off. He led by example. He was a hell of a player, classy player. McGregor lets his football do the talking, but recently, you know, the disappointment of the semi-final, he got them into a huddle after that game, probably highlighting how important the next game was going to be at Dingwall. You know, couldn't afford another slip up, and his form has went through the roof again. You know, Celtic had a disappointing season last year and he was amongst that, obviously. But the seasons before, and he's back to his best, if not better. I think he's grown into this role and he's been fantastic. He really has. He's what makes Celtic tick. And you can tell now he's the one that will talk, he'll encourage. There was one at the weekend where Kent goes through between two Celtic players into a dangerous situation. It's McGregor that gets back and wins it back for Celtic. And even the goal at Ibrox as well, when they're 1-0 down, he takes the game by the scruff of the neck. So he's a leader. He shows leadership in different ways to Bruni, who was a fantastic captain at Celtic. But I think he's grown into it brilliantly. And as Brian touches on there, he's been the understudy to Scott Brown for so many years.
You played under, you know, both types, if you like. Don't mean to pigeonhole Marvin, but, you know, very vocal captains, maybe slightly quieter. Different styles.
Yeah, definitely different styles. And you know, I have to agree with Simon there. It'd been so easy for Callum to follow in, you know, the footsteps of Brownie and try to be that sort of captain because he'd been so used to it himself. But I do remember one thing. He captained Celtic against us last season, and you know, he wasn't vocal that, you know, he was shouting and bawling, but when he got close to players, he's saying, I remember him saying, this is not good enough for Celtic Football Club, you know, because they weren't performing against us, and he wasn't going around and, you know, as I said, shouting from one side of the pitch to another. But when he went close to them, he let them know the standards that they required. And that, for me, is a captain. As Simon said as well, he leads by example, and I think he's been an absolutely fantastic footballer, and he's going from strength to strength. But he's well respected. And again, it wasn't easy to come in as captain, by the way, this season, especially what had happened last season. You know, so far behind your rivals last season, you know, it wasn't a great season to go into be captain, but he's taken it in his stride. You know, when they've needed him, he's taken a game by the scruff of the neck, and, you know, rightly so, he was given the PFA Player of the Year award.
Thank you, Brian.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it's Beat the Pundit time. We've had a word with Marvin Bartley. We've told him he must be on his best behaviour and be nicer to the people that phone in. So we'll put that theory to the test if you give us a call right now. 01419511025. Your chance to beat the pundit could be next, but you have to get your call in before 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley are here. It's 01419511025, or it is Twitter at Clyde SSB. If you want to look ahead to Rangers game tomorrow, you'll be in good company. We've had a bit of that already, but plenty more mileage there, I'm sure. The last caller before the break was talking about the fact that it's awards season, some given out at the weekend, and the news today that the football writers have gone for Craig Gordon. What do you make of that? Let us know. 01419511025. I'm not going to let up, you Partick Thistle fans. Come on, I know you're angry about last night, but there must still be some hope there that you can turn this around in the playoffs and move towards the Premiership. Let us know. 01419511025. And we will do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, let's play Beat the Pundit. Even Gordon DL managed to win last night, so, well, you know.
Pressure's on.
Yeah, pretty much. Jack is in Mount Florida. How's it going, Jack?
Not bad, thanks. How's yourself?
What's got more chance of happening? Rangers turning round and making a European final, or you winning tonight?
Rangers making a European final.
He'll toss the coin. If it's heads, it'll be Simon Donnelly. If it's tails, it's Marvin Bartley. And you're in trouble either way, because I've noticed about Marvin, if he's playing, he gives the caller a hard time. And even if it's the other pundit that's playing, he gives the caller a hard time. Would you check the state of him with that phone
again?
Every week, Jack, he gets the phone out to make sure.
It makes you wear better tops.
That it's not. I don't know about this one, actually. It's a wee bit dusty looking. To make sure that I don't cheat him on the toss. So here we go.
If what am I again? Heads or tails?
Tails.
Okay.
Heads at Simon, tails at Marvin.
No problem.
Yes, come on. Put that on your Instagram, wait. Bartley.
There we go. We'll let the people decide. You said yes before it. Well, I think that's double tails anyway, that coin.
Anyway, let's give Marvin some Clyde 2 to listen to. To be honest, it's great to be rid of him for a couple of minutes. Jackie talks too much. Right, 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. If you don't know, pass quickly and move on, okay?
Perfect.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds then on the clock. And your time starts now. Name either side Matt O'Reilly played with before Celtic.
Pass.
Name the only Australian to have been Rangers captain.
Craig Moore.
Who managed Dundee United the last time they finished top six in 2015?
Shabba Laszlo.
Which striker left Partick Thistle to join Dundee in January?
Pass.
Which country did Andy Halliday spend 6 months in whilst on loan at Gabala?
Azerbaijan.
Which SPFL club did John Souter start his professional career with?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring Marvin back. Can you hear us? What a prankster.
Oh, here we go, man.
I was going to say pranker, and then I thought that might get me in trouble because, you know, the subconscious might click in and say something I regret. Anyway, you ready?
No. Nope,
30 seconds on the clock. They're tough tonight, by the way. Ready?
Yep.
Name either side Matt O'Reilly played with before Celtic.
MK Dons.
Name the only Australian to have been Rangers captain.
Craig Moore.
Who managed Dundee United the last time they finished top six in 2015?
Pass.
Which striker left Partick Thistle to join Dundee in January?
Rudden, Zach Rudden.
Which country did Andy Halliday spend 6 months in whilst on loan at Gabala?
Azerbaijan.
Which SPFL club did John Souter start his professional career with?
Kilmarnock.
too late anyway.
What do you mean too late?
Well, it was wrong. I wouldn't worry about it. Calm down, Jack. It's in Mount Florida. Jack, what do you make of the attempt that you heard from Marvin?
I think he's done me.
You think he's done you?
I hope not.
That laugh, honestly, it rings in my ears for the rest of our Wednesday night. Matt O'Reilly, I'm afraid Jack did play for MK Dons or Fulham. And Jack passed it, so it's 1-0.
Left me straight away. As soon as I passed, I was like,
no.
Good start,
no.
Pav.
The only Australian to have been Rangers club captain, Jack got it. Craig Moore, I can't believe you got that as well.
Because I've worked with him before.
Great show.
You played with him?
No, I'm not that old. Wow, I worked with him before.
Oh, in the media world. Oh, right, okay.
I thought you meant that old. I'm the same age as Craig Moore.
Exactly.
Let's change the question. Who was the assistant manager of Dundee United the last time they finished top six in 2015? Simon Donnelly.
Can you just look over here?
And who was the gaffer?
Oh, wow. Jackie McNamara.
Jackie McNamara. None of you got
it right.
Should
have known that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What position did you finish?
Oh, now you're asking. Fourth.
Below Motherwell anyway. I was setting you up for that one. Which striker left Partick Thistle to join Dundee in January? I'm afraid it was Zach Rudden. He nearly forgot it, if that's any consolation. But Marvin moves two in front, is it?
Oh, this game's easy.
Oh, no! Andy Halliday famously got sent to Azerbaijan, as we like to remind him. I mean, Jack got that. Jack's all right.
Well done, Jack.
But unfortunately for you, you stay two in front. And even if I was to dock you points, John Souter started his professional career
again.
Dundee United.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's poor from me.
I know it is.
But do you know what happened? I knew I was already what? I knew I'd won.
Just take your foot off the ass.
Just trying to make him feel better. Did you get that one right?
No, he didn't. Jack, how bad is this? People are going to stop phoning on a Wednesday if he keeps laughing at them.
I'm wasting his phone.
I'll just phone in every Wednesday and just take him on. That's just me, because I can handle it.
I love that. That means I'll be winning from now to the end of the season.
We phone them back. They don't have to worry about the phone bill too much. See, we're good like that.
Oh, that's not too bad.
How many did Jack get there?
4-2. To Simon.
Well done, Jack.
To Marvin, sorry.
You know, if there's only two questions, mate, you'd have had 100% record. But unfortunately for you, there wasn't.
Jack, this guy's so disrespectful.
You've been to any final, look forward to tomorrow.
Exactly. What's he up to tomorrow? Watching Emmerdale.
I'll be cheering him on as well.
I'm disappointed we didn't get to the next one because there is scope for it to bring you back down to earth if you can't get it. I think he might. Who was the Livy manager when they were promoted to the Premiership in 2018?
Hopkins.
Oh, I was so sure he was going to forget.
Good shot.
You were panicking.
Oh, I was going to say Davey.
Listen,
did you know that there, or were you just delaying?
I had to think.
I'm not
back.
Getting involved in that. I don't know how much influence your gaffer had. That's your area of expertise, not mine. So we'll leave that there before I get myself in trouble. Thank you very much, Jack. It was nice to hear from you. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Take care, Jack. Well done, mate. Bye-bye.
Oh, so patronising. Listen, yuck.
That was a little pat on the head for him.
On the back. On you go. Enjoy your night, mate.
That 3 out of 3 for me.
I don't care.
I'm bringing up records. That's what I mean.
He's on a run.
See, when I lose, he brings up records.
To remember your record.
No, I remember 3 out of 3.
We do have someone who keeps an eye on these things. There is a mystery listener who lives somewhere far away.
Has a league table.
And has a spreadsheet and all sorts. Not only does this guy have, you know, wins and losses, he has, like, points per game.
Really?
He keeps stats on like who gets the first question right. It's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, he does a lot of work.
I'm going to be a minus
us.
One sort of guy soon.
No, you're not that good. Okay, only cheers. Roger Hanna.
Well, it's 3 wins out of 3.
You're doing all right. It still goes, for me, Hanna, Halliday, and then the rest can fight
out. Then who?
Simon's not bad as well, you know.
Simon's lost his last 2, no?
No.
Just the last one.
Last one.
As good as your last game. Form table says L.
I mean, I know who's near the bottom, but these guys get a hard enough time, so I won't mention it when they're not here. Hugh Keevens wants to know if you've got socks on. He's texted me.
You should see the ones I have on.
Orange socks.
I can see them. Oh my goodness.
It's because I came from that awards thing.
I've seen your Instagram.
Do you know what the problem is?
When be your tie?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So like you were speaking at sort of.
But
public,
do you know what the problem
today
was? I didn't have any trainers. I forgot to pack trainers, and I was coming straight from there to here. So I nearly had to wear my loafers in, and I found these in the car.
I wish you. It's just to paint the picture. He's got a black hoodie and tracky bottoms on. See if you had to wear loafers with that. That would have been the greatest night of my life.
Oh man, it was a massive worry.
Very lucky you're Messi. and you had trainers in the car.
Yeah.
There we go. Right, 01419511025. We're about to speak to Roger, who is a Rangers fan, so let's tee him up. I don't think he'll mind having James Tavernier as his warm-up act. He says the club are devastated by the loss of kitman Jimmy Bell, who sadly passed away aged 69 yesterday. Tavernier says Bell would have wanted them to just focus on the game and of course go on and reach Seville.
It's obviously a devastating time for the club. Everyone that knew Jimmy, his family, and yesterday was really difficult to take. We all took to our own to obviously to mourn Jimmy. I know Jimmy wouldn't want the fuss. He'd want us to pull our socks up, roll our sleeves up and get stuck into tomorrow. For the first whistle, you know, we're going to do it for the club, do it for the fans, and obviously do it for Jimmy. Yeah, I love Jimmy to bits. He was one of the first people that I came in to see when I first joined the club. I remember the first time I met him. I asked him for the number 2. You know, he'd give us some stick for me even asking him. You know, we've created such a special relationship over the years, so it's really hard to take. He's the heart and soul of this place, but, you know, we have to obviously focus on the game and try and put the best performance that he would want us to do and obviously try and reach a final where he would obviously want to go, and that's our aim.
Let's bring in Roger, who is a Rangers fan. How are you feeling ahead of tomorrow, Roger?
Good evening, guys. How are we doing?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Yes. Well, listen, fantastic words for the captain there. It's a very sad time. Mixed emotions. Also, what happened with Jimmy yesterday, and also a loss of Walter Smith earlier in the season as well. So it's going to be a quite emotional night tomorrow night. And remember, Walter Smith was the last manager to get Rangers this far. And I can completely say different style of football. I'm not saying that Walter's football was anti-football, but certainly it's quite enjoyable watching Rangers this time. So I'll be very proud of the team tomorrow night when they come out and Walter will look down with Jimmy saying, look, let's go for it. And at the moment, guys, believe it or not, I'm actually quite calm. But 24 hours from now, I'll be like a bubbling wreck, but I'm really looking forward to it, I really am.
So when you say calm, is that a calm confidence or you just generally looking forward to the occasion?
God, I'm actually quite calm just now. I'm up here, I've got my cat next to me, so she's kind of calming me down just now as well. But no, I'm fine, I'm actually okay. But I'm going with my both sons tomorrow, a lot of my friends, also know it's a sellout. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And again, I thought a few weeks ago, and I think I used the word, it's the norm, maybe it's been kind of blasé or stupid to say that, but we've got to the stage now being Rangers supporters since Gerrard took over and Gio's kind of continued it forward. We're disappointed if we don't get to the group stages or we don't get out of them. We've progressed season on season on season and we've seen some fantastic teams being put to the sword. Now, this game's not finished tomorrow night. They'll want to, like Marvin rightly said earlier on, that they'll want to win this big time because this is an opportunity to get to the Champions League where also every team wants to be. But I think we found our level in Europa League and we're doing exceptionally well, and I'm really buzzing for the money. But at the moment, as I say, I'm kind of calm.
That's all very good, Roger, but what's the cat's name? Is it Gio, Alfredo, something else?
It's Misha, her name is.
No Rangers connection then?
Well, she's red, white and blue, that's not a story.
She's red, white and blue? Or she is now, she wasn't until yesterday, and he's decorating the poor cat for the big occasion. Yeah, it's funny, Marvin, I think maybe because we're in sort of uncharted territory, like our clubs don't get to these stages very often. I feel like Rangers fans that are phoning in are more confident at overturning a deficit against Leipzig than they would be for a home league game against St Mirren. That's kind of how it works, isn't it?
Yeah.
In a strange roundabout way.
And that's like you said, that's the confidence they now have within the group. I think the fans know the massive part that they play also in Rangers going through these rounds. You know, you can't deny that. You know, when teams are playing at Ibrox and the Rangers fans have got the absolute stadium rocking, it's a very difficult venue to go to. And I think the players have spoken about that. So the Rangers fans have a massive, massive part to play tomorrow. And I'm sure they'll play extremely well. But yeah, there is a confidence, almost a little bit of an arrogance, which is a good thing in football. But there won't be an overconfidence. You know, the players, as I said, will know they'll be firmly fixed on tomorrow's game. All the reasons they want to do it, and they want to get to a final. Get to a final. Imagine winning that and getting to Champions League. That means two teams go to Champions League.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
win the league.
Yeah.
What a fantastic thing for Scottish football. You know, if you'd have said that a year ago or 2 years ago, people would have laughed at us. To even have one team, you know, this late in the competition, people would have said no way. And the way Rangers have performed, you know, round after round, in the group stages and the knockout stages, have been absolutely fantastic and be brilliant for us. And as I said, flying a Scottish flag for them to get to the final.
And by the way, I've tried to remind everyone a couple of times because it seems like it's been forgotten a little bit. Even if Rangers don't win the Europa League and they finish second in the Premiership, like most people expect them to, they're still in the qualification stage of the Champions League next season. They would go into the third qualifying round.
So it'd be three games.
Two. The third and then the playoff round.
Right.
Are we so sure that a team who reaches the Europa League semi-final can't get through in the Champions League qualifying? All season we've been conditioned to think that the champions will be in the group stages and the runners-up won't be. So I wonder if they'll both be there.
Yeah, it's a good point. And
thank you, Roger.
It's a good point, and Roger's quite right, because Rangers have grown season after season. They keep progressing even further in Europe. And I'm just looking at, we've scribbled down teams for tomorrow, but there's quite a lot of the team that have been through that run together. Mm-hmm. So they've gained all that experience. So it's maybe no any great surprise that they are progressing and they are getting better every year. But that's a good point. You know, it's not the be-all and end-all. Obviously, Rangers want to go and win this. They're in the semi-final. But you would expect them, if they had two ties to negotiate next year against that level of team that come in at that time, if you're lucky with a draw, you would expect Rangers to go in.
I think I know where it comes from, because our clubs have had so many qualification horror stories in recent seasons. They come at a difficult time for us. We've seen lower ranked nations, you know, embarrass us at times.
But there are five or six of those players that have been over the course of the last season.
That's what I was going to say. If you can't believe in yourself to get through two qualification rounds when you've been a Europa League semi-finalist, then there's something amiss there. And you know, it wasn't that long ago. Brendan Rodgers' side did it twice, got through the qualifier. So we don't always, it helps obviously, but we don't always need the automatic. Roger, I wonder how much your confidence levels would change if Kemar Roofe is fit tomorrow.
You know, I think Gio's got a big job in his hand if he's going to try to squeeze him in. It's going to be very interesting. I'm glad we got back, because it'll be an option if he does start him on the bench. But the very teams playing, I think Marvin touched earlier on, Sakala's been playing well and at the right time, and the 10 men against Motherwell and the two games against Celtic. Like, it's just a great feeling right now to be a Rangers fan when it's still the spring, summer nights and you're still in Europe. It's absolutely fantastic. So he'll come on and score the winner. It'll be 3-1 to Rangers, and he'll get the goal in the last minute and the place will explode.
He's got it all figured out, does Roger in Uddingston. That was Roger and the Cat. Thank you very much. 01419511025. We've got some breaking managerial news right now. I think it was the worst kept secret, but Falkirk have announced the appointment of John McGlynn as first team manager. So he's left Raith Rovers in the Championship, gone to obviously a very big club in League One in Falkirk. Anyone out there wants to get their thoughts in on that, now's a good time to do it. 01419511025. We'll take more calls and we'll put these two up against the full time teaser next as well.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One's Super Scoreboard.
Right, it's time for Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly to team up and tackle this full time teaser. Now, if you are unfamiliar with the concept, it's pretty simple, granted, but it's enjoyable. You lot out there, send the questions in. A bit of trivia, maybe something that you've read somewhere else. You can steal it, we don't mind that, let's be honest. Or you've come up with it, you've researched it. But you put it to the panel in the last half hour of the show, and we see if they can come up with all the answers. So it goes a bit like this. So thank you to Graham in Easterhouse, who sent this one in. It's topical, but he's just changed the direction slightly. Can you name the last 10 players to win PFA's Player of the Year in England? So we've been doing a lot of these with the Scottish Awards recently, but can you name the last 10 to win the PFA Player of the Year in the English Premier League?
Van Dijk?
Yes.
Aguero?
No.
Has he not won at all?
I don't think so. A couple on this list have won it more than once, so it's not... Yeah, it's just the last 10 players. Some of them maybe did win it more than once.
Salah?
Yep.
Come on, Simon, join in anytime. Swap you for Jack. Was that his name I beat? Beat the pundit.
You've forgotten his name already.
Just distant memory now.
Try to think the teams.
Any more? Take another guess before we move on.
10 years. You got another one?
Yeah, but I'm waiting for you.
Yeah, go for it.
De Bruyne.
Yes, well done. All right, let's remind you of that email address. It's fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to send your questions in. We'd love to have them. De Bruyne, Van Dijk and Salah so far, looking for another 7 of the last 10 PFA Player of the Year in England specifically. So let's bring in Stephen, who's a Motherwell fan, on the line. What's your point tonight, Stephen?
Just quick, put my phone around me. Your producer there, the last word I heard was breaking managerial news, and I thought, oh yes, Graham Alexander's been sacked finally. Basically, I think if we don't win on Saturday, he's got to go. And I know you'll look at it and you'll say that Motherwell in 6 points, it's a successful season, but it's not the past or the present I'm worried about. It's where we go next season. I look at his signings, and 3, maybe 4 that I push have been a success. We've not replaced Tony Watt. I've said that on here before. And but for Livingston failing to defend a cross ball, we wouldn't be top 6.
Oh, you always see the look in Bartley's face right now, Stephen. I mean, you're spot on, of course. I don't know how anyone could argue. Such a weird situation. Because, you know, Stephen's saying, you know, we haven't replaced Tony Watt. Well, we lost Tony Watt and still finished top 6.
Yeah.
And, you know, had it not been for Livy not failing to defend that cross ball.
You know what happened, Gordon.
Sorry to say, but that did happen. So it is a weird place, because loads of Motherwell fans will feel like Stephen as well, though.
But they're in the top 6. I mean, where did Motherwell expect to finish, you know? I think at the start of the season, if you'd offered Motherwell top 6, they would have taken it. I get it that, you know, the season hasn't been great, especially the recent form, and it's, you know, not what was expected. I agree, it's a massive game against Ross County, but they're in the top 6 is so difficult. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's easy to do, but you can lose 5 out of 5 in there. You know, it does happen, but I think they have to get Graham Alexander at least, you know, the first half of next season, you know, maybe up to the break that we have for the World Cup, because at the end of the day, he would have been set out to get into the top 6. He's done that. However he's done it, he's done it. And you at least need to give him a start of the season. I agree, they do need another centre-forward, and I'm sure he'll be working on that.
But you're not convinced, Stephen?
No, and I don't think about 90% of the Motherwell support are at the minute as well. It's not been good to watch. Again, I get what Martin's saying in terms of giving him a summer, but then I see his signings and I go, they've not been that good. Only the way Van Bean, Slattery and Liam Kelly have delivered for me. I mean, Willie, they can show patches, but the rest haven't been good enough. And I don't see how he can take us forward next season. I really don't.
What do you think it would say to prospective managers, Stephen? You know, if that job becomes vacant and other managers are looking at it and are basically being told that top 6 might not even be enough to keep them in a job, do you think they'd fancy a crack at that position?
That I know, but that's not the way I'm looking at it. Right?
But I'm asking you to look at it that way. Just humour me.
I get that, I do, right, but we should have walked to top 6 with the start to the season that we had.
Yeah, but who was in charge for that start to the season?
I know who it was, but then he's also, you can't, I've been on here, Gordon, and you know I have, and you know I've given him credit for the start of the season that he had. It was good, but then he's got to take the flak for this, he has to. If I'm giving him credit for that, he has to take the flak for this.
Simon, what do you think?
Listen, Stephen's seen a lot more of Motherwell than me, and he's obviously, they're not performing as attractively as he would like, but as Marv says, they've kind of fell into that top 6, they've stuttered across the line, and that is probably what Motherwell were looking at the start of the season. The crazy world of football, should they not have got there with Graham Alexander have kept his job, we don't know, you know, as I say, the crazy world of football. But yeah, I think it's maybe just the product and what they're watching week in, week out. If they're not being entertained or they're not seeing their team playing well, frustration, you know, follows. I was talking to you before we came on. I don't know what Stephen thinks about the young lad Tierney. I thought he'd a good game. He caught my eye in the highlights. It was only the highlights, right enough, at the weekend. He caught my eye, and there didn't look to be a lot in that game against Dundee United, who are regarded to have had a really good season because they're sitting in fourth place, which 4 points above them. So you can see it from all angles, but Stephen's paying his money and he's going to watch Motherwell week in, week out, and he's obviously not happy with what is on the pitch.
Football's changed, Marvin. It's the short term nature of it, and then you can spin this a few ways. Had Graham Alexander started the season like this, he might have been sacked, you know, he might not have got that time. Or had he survived it and then gone on a good run like they had at the start and come on a late run and got into the top six, the Motherwell fans would be buzzing about that.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, you can't rewrite it though, you can't change the order of it, but it's just because now it's normal to look at smallish sections of results rather than that big picture. Like I said to Stephen, you're a coach, you want to get into management. If you were applying for the Motherwell job and you thought that you might get the sack after getting them into the top six, that would feel weird, wouldn't it?
Most definitely. It most definitely feel weird. But I do agree with you. If he flipped what's happened, you know, in the Motherwell season, he wouldn't have got to the stage to turn it around. No doubt about it. But managers get credit in the bank like players do. You know, players' form will go if they have five bad games and it's their first five bad games and you know, they won't play for a little while. But if you've played 30 good games and you have five bad games, the manager's more likely to persevere with you. I think it's a difficult one. I just think when you are in the top six, it's very difficult for the club to come out in the summer and say, you know what, Graham, it's time for you to go. Because then who do you get in? But there's no doubt about it. The form hasn't been great. I think if they can go to him and say, listen, you've got the first 15 games of next season, things have to improve. If they don't improve, you lose your job. I can see them going more down that route than, you know, getting rid of him right now.
I think there's any chance at all, Stephen, if Marvin's right, and, you know, if you're a decision maker at Motherwell and you say, oh, like, this is crazy, the guy's got us to the top six, why would we get rid of him? Do you think there's any chance that Graham Alexander then feels he's not getting the credit he deserves? He's saddened by all the negativity. Any chance he takes it into his hands in the summer?
I think he'll stay if given the chance. I'm hearing rumours, Gordon, right? I'm hearing rumours that there was a board meeting this week. That was all over Motherwell Twitter. And I'm hearing strong rumours that if he doesn't win on Saturday, then we don't get a European spot, he's out the door. Now, I would love to be proven wrong with this, right? I would love nothing more than if he stays here next season and we have a great start to the season. I don't get any joy coming on here and slating managers, but I'm not getting any joy for going and watching my team at the minute. And that's supposed to be my release in life, and it is an absolute chore. And I'm continuing that chore at Dingwall on Saturday, by the way.
Of course you are. You wouldn't have it any other way, would you?
Good on you, Stephen.
No, but I hope that I'm proven wrong, because I don't, you know, I've come on here and I have praised him when he's won Manager of the Month and when it was going well. And it's not as if it's been knee-jerked. And this has been around the 15 games, so it's not as if my reaction's knee-jerked. I've sat and I've thought about it, I've weighed it up, and I just don't know if with the quality of his signings, he'll be able to put it right again next season. That was the one major factor that I looked at.
I'm not saying it makes it wrong. I've just got these visions that, you know, if Stephen gets his wish in a couple of years' time, you know, when the day-to-day stuff, you've forgotten about it, we will look back on a season where Graham Alexander finished top six, got two Manager of the Month awards and lost his job at a club that's got maybe the 10th, you know, biggest budget in the league. I'm not saying that makes it wrong, but from the outside, you might look at that and think, what's happening? But on the inside, fans like Stephen, a lot of them feel that way.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing, you know, fans are the life and the kind of the blood of the football club, so it'd be difficult, you know, to survive without them. If the fans are against what Graham's doing, maybe it's the style of play. That's what I was going to ask Stephen. Is it the style of play or just the results? Because I think there's ways to lose games. I think if a team are playing well, we can see what they're trying to do. It's a lot easier. And I know people have kind of said that Graham's gone too direct now. There's not really a structure to what he's doing. I think that might be another thing. He's gone away from what got them success at the start.
Stephen?
Yeah. I mean, totally. The style of play now, I've got my own channel on YouTube, and I said after the game on Saturday, that's, if my team's going to lose the game, that's the way I want to see us lose it. We create chances, hit the post, hit the bar. How we lost that game on Saturday, I don't know, but it's been too few and far between. And I mean, you're sorry to rub in again, but you probably feel like we stole top six off you guys.
Stephen, yeah. The league table doesn't lie. Don't start that,
Stephen,
stuff.
I like you. I totally agree.
Honestly.
You did steal it. So can we have our place back, please?
If you're going to plug your YouTube channel, you better tell us what it's called, Stephen, so folk can look at it.
It's a different view. I mean, I'm nearly at 1,000 subscribers now, so it's going well. I was at Partick V Inverness last night. Really enjoyed that. Going as a neutral and being able to relax and not being stressed.
What did you make of it, by the way? Because we were going to discuss it anyway, so since you're on, deserved result in the end?
I don't think that Partick fans can have any complaints with the result. I mean, they'll point to the chance that the boy Allegri had when he was through on goal one-on-one, but I thought that Inverness looked like the better footballing side. I thought Shane Sutherland was fantastic, particularly second half. And I think that now they've got home advantage Friday night, that'll be enough to see them through.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Producer Callum, go and subscribe to this guy's YouTube channel from the Clyde One accounts, why don't you? Yeah, the playoffs are brilliant if they go your way. They're terrible if they don't. And I'm sure the Partick Thistle fans are feeling a bit frustrated at a missed opportunity last night.
Yeah, home tie first and get their noses in front in the game as well. But I said the other day, I think Partick towards the end of the season have lost their form, and Inverness are the opposite. But when I seen Partick had taken the lead, I thought, you know, that looks good for them, but the result in the end is not great for Partick, and it's going to be a difficult one for them. Not impossible, but they're going to have to try and find some form up at Inverness to turn that round on Friday.
I love the playoffs, Marvin, as a neutral. The one year that my team was involved, it made me feel physically sick, and then it was good in the end. But like I said, from a neutral, it's just brilliant across the divisions.
Absolutely, it's fantastic, and this is such a good thing, you know, because the seasons don't just play out and there's nothing left if you don't finish top and you're not getting promoted. There's a second chance for teams, and I agree with Simon, it's such a difficult task now for Partick to go, you know, away to Inverness and try and turn this over. It's the most difficult of places to go at the best of times, you know, let alone when you've got, you know, they've got a goal lead. So
just fell away at the wrong time, Partick, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. They've got some good players as well. You know, I think Ian McCall's been backed kind of by the board. Yeah. They've got some good players within there, some Premier League experienced players as well, and you know, you have to fear for them if not to go up. You think people like Scott Tiffany would be kind of leaving the football club, which would be a massive blow for them. But Inverness, as Simon said, you know, they've gone into form at the right time, and you know, Partick Thistle fans won't be happy with me, but I think Inverness will win that one.
We've got games tonight: Queen's Park, Dunfermline. Queen's Park's a very interesting story, you know, hugely ambitious. Owen Coyle's going to be taking charge. Dunfermline, unthinkable, a club of that size to potentially drop into League One again. John Hughes, not so long ago, winning things in the top flight and getting great praise and could be about to drop into League One. So we'll keep an eye on that one this evening. Queen's Park against Dunfermline. From the Championship playoffs to the Europa League semi-final with Andy in Bears Den. What are you thinking about tomorrow, Andy?
How are you doing, Pat? I hope you're all well.
Good, thank you, good.
I was wanting to ask the panel what their thoughts were on whether it would be Roof or Sakala tomorrow and who they would choose. I think I heard you say earlier if Roof's fit, but my missus works in the Hillfoot garage and he popped in to get petrol, so she asked him how his injury was. He said it's better. Asked him when he would next be playing, he said hopefully tomorrow, so it sounds...
Oh, it's an exclusive
inside knowledge.
We've got an exclusive from Andy in Bears
Den. Did you pick up any snacks?
Kamal Roof's fit, what else did he buy?
I don't know, Ailey, what else did he buy? Just petrol.
He's got more restraint than me. You have to pick up something else, don't you? You feel obliged to. I love that. There you are, Rangers fans. We've broken the news.
Inside knowledge.
He's fit, according to petrol station workers out there. Well, if that's true, it'd be a great boost.
Most definitely. I just can't see him starting. I just think it's a tough one. Whether he's fit to take a place on the bench, it's slightly different. I think if he's anywhere near fit, he'll be saying to Gio, listen, at least put me on a bench and let me get on. I just think if you haven't trained, you know, 2-3 days before a game, it's very difficult, a game of that magnitude, to just go in with no days training. I think that's a tough one. No matter, even if he trained today and he does a little bit tomorrow, it's going to be so light that you can get through it. You're not going to get any real sharpness from it. And he's been out, you know, as you said, is it 10 or 11 days now? So I think if he's anywhere near fit, he'll be on the bench, Andy, but I think they will start with Sakala tomorrow.
What's the good lady's name, Andy? Sorry, say that again.
What did you say there?
What's your good lady's name?
Ailey.
So Ailey's given us the news. The only thing, and so this is not Ailey's fault. Marvin Bartley believes his girlfriend's called Ailey as well. He's just a wee bit worried in case there's cross wires here. I think you're all right. Simon, we've no reason to doubt the messenger, but you know what you players are like. Kamal Roof, I'm sure he does think he's fit enough to play tomorrow.
Well, I would be saying that as well.
It might not transpire that way.
Europa League, and that's what we said earlier on. You'd be desperate to play. Whether he's ready, as Marv touches on there, Gio will know. Gio will know what he's what parts of the sessions he's taking place. Is he looking sharp? Is he looking fit? I've just got a wee suspicion he might start.
So Andy, if they are, if he is fit, and of course it seems like he is, you've got the info, how does Sakala fit into this, or does he not, or what do you do?
That's a tough one. I mean, I said to you when the last time I phoned, I'm like, Sakala's a man for Europe, but then he went and scored in the Old Firm. So I think they both offer different things, and that's what makes it a tough one. I think if you're going to lob the ball over and then behind the defence, and Sakala's got the pace to run onto it, Ruth, however, it, you know, he finds himself in the right places at the right times if the ball goes into the box. So I think it's going to be a tough one personally. Probably go with Ruth, but it's, yeah, I think it's a tough decision. Just on the fact that both of them have done well since Morelos went out in injury.
Yeah, I mentioned recency bias quite a lot on the show, because I think, you know, you see it. You know, Sakala does well second half, scores a goal, has a good chance, and people think, you know, he's in a good place in him. It's not to say that he's not, but on Thursday night, we still heard loads of people saying, oh, Rangers really need a focal point. They are missing a focal point. It's the one thing we need more than anything. So it is a bit of a unique predicament for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. It's either you have a focal point or you don't. That's sort of the game plan he would need to choose between.
Yeah, or unless he goes to Reba up front. Because, you know, he
worked well for a spell, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It definitely did. You know, he's a player with.
They moved him out of there, though, didn't he, quite quickly?
Yeah, to change it up a little bit. But again, that could be another option. I just, you know, again, Sakala, I think for all the strengths he does have, holding the ball up isn't one of them.
No.
But you have to find a way of playing into him that's going to help him. You know, he's different to the other strikers you have. And this is why they've got good players who can work things out. And this is why they've got a top manager, because he needs to work out a way of, you know, feeding Sakala, like they did against Celtic in the second half, that will allow him to get, you know, one on one opportunities, shots at goal, etc. And that isn't playing the ball into his feet. If you want someone to do that tomorrow, he's not the striker for you to start.
No, he's off the cuff, Sakala, isn't he? He's off the cuff, but he's quick. And if you get the balls in against Celtic three or four occasions,
yeah,
you know, and he was strong. He held off Carter Vickers at one time as well. But it's no link-up play. He's not the guy. And last week when he was playing in that central role, I don't think he used. You've got Roy Mackay there. I think over time, a top striker, maybe working with him and you know, pointing little things out to him, because I don't think at times he uses his pace correctly. He's very off the cuff.
Andy, you can come back any time. Tell Ailey to keep the information coming, all right?
Well, okay.
Good man, that was Andy in Bearsden.
Super Scoreboard European Football Updates with Moyer and Sweeney Litigation, a multi-award winning law firm with a name you can trust.
Right, picture the scene. You've gone into the petrol station, you've got your fuel, Ailey Sergi, you've picked up some snacks along the way, of course you have, because you're not like Kemal Roof, and you head home to sit down in front of your new 58-inch Samsung 4K TV and Amazon Echo Show. That could be the reality, because we're giving you the chance to win one thanks to Moyer and Sweeney Litigation. Now, they are our sponsors of European football coverage. They're a multi-award winning law firm offering high quality, discreet legal advice across all wide range of legal matters. We're talking family law, road traffic, personal injury, public inquiries, loads more. Go to Clyde1.com, you can find out a bit more, and that's how you enter as well for the chance to win the 58-inch Samsung TV and Amazon Echo Show, all thanks to Moyer and Sweeney Litigation.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Right, we're into the home straight tonight. We've got Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly here. They're trying their best to tackle Graham and Easterhouse's question, which is, can you name the last 10 players to win the PFA Player of the Year in England? Because we've been talking about the Scottish awards quite a lot. You've got KDB, VVD and Mohamed Salah so far.
Mo Salah.
Any more?
Well, I'm under pressure because
you've not got any yet.
My big teammate's slagging me off here. David Silva.
No.
Sterling.
Silva didn't.
Nope.
Gareth Bale.
Yes. Well done.
I mean, well done. Vardy.
Nope.
Kante.
Yes.
Oh,
well done.
He gets one.
Five.
That's it.
We're halfway there.
Suarez.
Yes. Okay, not bad at all. Right,
it's maybe a team game he's keeping them close to his chest. I never even mentioned Suarez.
Shocking, isn't he? Right, no, four to go. We'll get them before the end, and it's fulltime at Clyde1.com if you want to send your answer in. Let's bring in Colin, who's a Rangers fan in Airdrie. What's on your point? What is your point, I should say, tonight, Colin?
Hi, I'm Gordon. I just phoned up about the award that we gave out. Mm-hmm. So, in my reckoning, Ange Postecoglou, I'm a Rangers fan, and I think, yes, he deserves Manager of the Year. In terms of Player of the Year, I think Tavernier should have been up there in the running, or at least pushing McGregor for it. However, I do feel that for Young Player of the Year, how Callum Bassett has not been nominated in that is just beyond me. And that's me being honest, because I kind of see it. And I know people say, right, it's how they play in Scottish football. However, when professional players play on a Saturday, Sunday or whatever against these players and they might not do anything, when they then turn around and look at them on a Thursday in Europe, how can you turn around and say he's not in the running for it? And I don't understand it.
What do you think, Marvin? Because I've seen a few conflicting reports and people suggesting that he wasn't young enough to be nominated, but he was. He was eligible. Calvin Bassey was eligible for the Young Player of the Year. And Colin's right, you know, he didn't get the nod. It is from the fellow professionals. How can I second guess players across the country? I'm going to use the phrase for the third time in 5 minutes. Because of the recency thing, he's in brilliant form right now. Is it maybe, did he maybe save his best form for a little bit late in the season? I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with what the answers might be.
No, because if he's eligible and I didn't know he was, then he should definitely be in the nominations. There's no doubt about it. The only thing I can think of is a lot of players maybe voted earlier on. I know it closed at a certain date, but it opens relatively early. That can be the only reason, because, you know, if that's done now, 100% he is in the running. You've got Connor Barron from Aberdeen, and I'm just looking it up now. He's played 8 games.
So here's the other thing that's worth pointing out, because you're right, I've seen a lot of people point that out.
Yeah.
Now, the young player vote is across all the leagues. So Connor Barron might have got votes due to his performances at Kelty in the first half of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that changes things. Then.
Yeah.
But regardless, Bassey's got to be in there ahead of somebody else.
I'm not trying to pick holes in it for anything other than, you know, the discussion purposes. You know, you mentioned the Ross County game and so on. I just wonder if maybe the perception amongst the fellow pros, whether it's right or not, the perception maybe is, that he's come good recently rather than across the season. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you, Gordon.
To second guess you, footballer.
I don't understand that. I genuinely thought he was told. And you're telling me that he's not. He should 100%. I agree with Colin and anyone else who says so. He should be in there, because the form he's shown as a young man playing, you know, at such a massive club with the pressures that come with that, doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, players had to be 21 and under on the 1st of August. He didn't turn 22 until Hogmanay, so he was eligible. Does Colin put up a fair point, Simon?
He does, yeah, he does. I think Bassey's been one of the success stories of Rangers this season, and he has got better and better as the season's been on. But again, we spoke about this last week, sometimes you just can't work out, it's the players that are voting for it. Why do they pick people ahead of certain ones? We don't know. But for Colin, I think he can be 100% in what he's saying there. Bassey has had a very good season.
And you would back him to continue that tomorrow night, I assume, Colin?
I do. And to be honest with you, I feel as if that's where he's not been gave the kind of praise that he should be getting for such a young age. He's played two different positions, so Van Bronckhorst can chop and change with him at such a young age. So I just feel as if for a player of his age, what he's done, he's not getting the respect that he should be due, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the conversations in January, Colin, and I do remember this, there certainly was a time in the season where most people used to say he's not a centre-half, you know, prefer him at left-back. But I feel like maybe those conversations are dwindling in number a little bit.
Well, I think they're unfounded, to be honest with you, because he's a young player. But don't get me wrong, maybe Conor Goldson and stuff like that's helped him on. However, he's still to play each game as it comes and do what he's had to do. And I think to me, as a Rangers player, the full season, he's stepped up and done what he's been asked. Every time the manager says you're playing at left back, centre back, he's done it. And he's done it to the best of his ability. And that's where I feel Leo Abada, he get nominated. To me, personally, I just think, no, he's been over and above him, head and shoulders, to be honest with you.
To be fair, if you were going to pick a hole in the short list and...
I don't think it would be Abada.
No. Oust someone from it to put Bassey in. Yeah, I didn't think it would be Abada with the sort of numbers he's put up on his debut season here.
Yeah, nah, but he has to stay 30, in there as
13,
well.
13, 14 goals.
Yeah, he's staying in all day long. Colin has to go for somebody else. But no, listen, I agree with what he's saying. I do. Bassey should be in there, but Abada should be in there also. But like I said, it's one of those things, the professionals have voted for it. Unfortunately, he wasn't in there. You know, he'll be concentrating on tomorrow's game anyway.
See, the only thing with Bassey, just quick, obviously the awards are great, but see, the biggest thing for Bassey, he's actually now one of the Rangers' main guys. Yeah, he's one of the first names
playing,
on the
show.
So that's a success for him this season.
Of course.
The most important thing for him will be Gio picking him.
Yeah. I like playing them off against each other because the previous caller... referenced the fact that Callum McGregor won the PFA award and Craig Gordon's won the Football Writers, and he used that as evidence that the Football Writers don't have a clue what they're on about. However, Colin now thinks the players don't have a clue what they're on about. And you'd be pleased to know, Colin, the Football Writers at least nominated James Tavernier in the final four. So who knows best out of the writers and the players? It depends what team you support, by the looks of it. Any complaints in here about Craig Gordon winning the Writers award?
No, I don't think so. I think, we spoke about it last week when he was nominated by the players as well. He's had a great season, Craig, and, you know, for his country as well, he just seems to get better. We keep saying it, he keeps getting better with age, and I don't think you can have a complaint. It's a great one. Callum McGregor has won the players, Craig has won the sports writers. It's another great acknowledgement. I think that's the second or third time.
It's the third time record breaking for him. Yep.
Great for him personally.
And before we get all upset about the fact that the Football Writers haven't picked Calvin Bassey for their young player, remember the Writers' young player has to be Scottish. There we go. Before anyone dives in, thank you to Colin and Airdrie, who will be the final caller tonight, I would imagine, which means all that's left to do is come up with the answers to the teaser. Four more of the last 10 players to win PFA Player of the Year in England.
RVP.
Yes, since we're on the subject of the initials, Robin Van Persie, well done.
Hazard?
Yes. Somebody been Googling this in the last few minutes.
He was on his phone.
Two to get.
Clubs.
There's a strange number of them that happen to have a Z in their name. You don't usually see that too often. You've got Hazard and Suarez, and another one in there. Two clubs, brilliant for them both. Once was a failed trialist at St Mirren.
Mahrez.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got Mahrez written down as well. Perfect.
And the other one was
Imagine slipping through St Mirren's net.
Oh, no.
For people of my age, the original wonder kid.
Rooney.
Yeah, Wayne Rooney just sneaks into that last 10. Well done. Thank you, Marvin.
Nice.
And Simon for joining me tonight. Now, remember, tomorrow night, 11 o'clock, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are on until 11 o'clock. It descended into chaos last week. Hopefully it's a bit more straightforward, and hopefully we get a good occasion at Ibrox. Rangers are 1-0 down. They welcome RB Leipzig. The atmosphere will be through the roof. So join us for all the build-up. You can give us a call on your way to the game. We'll keep you up to speed on what's happening throughout. And we are on until 11, so you can pick up the phone and either share your joy or drown your sorrows with us at full time. I'm looking forward to that greatly. 6 until 11 tomorrow with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. Producer Callum's telling me it's until at least 11. I don't like the sound of that. It's 11 o'clock, believe me, because I'll be leaving. Lindsay Gibson is up next.